Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is life. Your word is light in darkness. Your word is strength in weakness. Your word is hope in hopelessness. And for all of us that are here, God, we haven't really come here to learn the Bible, God. We came here to ask you to solve our messes. So help us to see how knowing chapter 12 of the book of Revelation will heal our children, heal our relationships, help us to overcome our bondages, heal our sicknesses. God, I'll never stop being amazed at the power of your word. No matter what we study, we stand under a great light, under a healer who loves us so much. Now please teach us your word, that we may walk in your truth. As the psalm writer wrote, show us your ways. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Not coincidentally, we come to the halfway point of the book of Revelation as we come to the halfway point of the Great Tribulation. If you've not been with us, and I see some new faces, we're going through the book of Revelation. And the Revelation is the story of the end times. It's the study of eschatology. And today, no different than some of the other chapters, it's pretty crazy what goes on. What we're going to see today is a lot of symbology and a lot of allegorical examples. I'll explain them as we go. If you're new to Scripture, it might be a little bit weird. If you're a seasoned saint who's been reading Scriptures for years and years and years, there's no way for me to effectively explain every Scripture that's being brought about here, because truly, the book of Revelation, especially chapter 12, is the culmination of so many prophecies, so many pictures, so many allegories, so many types. The 12th chapter of the book of Revelation is an amazing, amazing book. And again, as I encouraged you last week, dig a little deeper. Look at Warren Wiersbe's information on it. Look at Chuck Smith's information on it. Look at Henry Morris's. It's so rich. If the study of God's word excites you as it does me, it's inexhaustible what you will see here. However, having said that, verse 1, chapter 12, the book of Revelation. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven. Please give me your attention. The word for sign, picture, type. He's letting us know that what we're looking at now is not the... We were looking at the beasts that come out of the earth a few weeks ago, and we thought, wow, is that a picture or an allegory? No, it was a literal translation. He was literally telling us of the things that come to pass. Here, he goes through lengths. He goes painstakingly to tell us this is not literal. This is symbol. This is an allegory. I want you to see the picture, the sign here. He actually goes all the way back to creation. He goes all the way back to the beginning, and he's going to show us now how all these things have not just a prophetic incurrence, but a prophetic past of multiple areas, from back then till now to what's yet to come, because again, he is the God who is, who was, and who will be, right? Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Please, sticking to the idea of the symbols, the pictures, let me just go through this with you so you see it. The woman clothed with the sun. Now, the word woman in Scripture is representative of three specific things that we want to see. First and foremost, the mother of all, Eve. She is clothed with the sun. But also, the nation of Israel is called a woman. But yet, also, the church itself was called a woman. So, where is exactly he speaking at here? I believe it's on multiple levels. However, Let's, for example, say because of the time that this is taking place in our future, halfway between the tribulation, that right now he's speaking of the remnant, the church itself. A woman clothed with the sun. Who is the light? Jesus is the light. And he gives us his white garments all through Scripture. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel, Joshua talks about being clothed in the garments of God. Here, this woman, the church, being clothed with the righteousness granted by God, with the moon under her feet. What is representative of the moon? None other than Satan the devil. Why is the moon the representation? Because do you know that the moon has no light? The moon is a counterfeit light. It only steals light from the sun and shines as if its own. But it is not. You've never looked up and saw the moon shining. The moon doesn't shine. The moon is dark. The moon is black. Do you understand what we're saying here? It's counterfeit. So, at this point in time in the tribulation, even as this point in time where we're at now in your own tribulation, the woman clothed with the righteousness of God standing upon the enemy. And on her head, a garland of 12 stars. Now, the numbers in the Bible all specifically correlate to other things. The number 12 in this case could mean the 12 tribes of Israel or the 12 apostles of God, right? Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Okay. This woman is in labor. Who did Eve first give birth to? Cain and Abel, the first two. One decided to follow God, one decided to follow Satan. But also, the church is giving birth to more saints. And in pain of the tribulation of the days to come, although by grace we have been saved through faith, it is a gift of God, lest any should boast. In the last days, and this hopefully will scare you, time of grace is over, and the tribulation saints will have to bear much pain. To be a believer in the last days, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And as we see the tide of our own country turning against Christianity, which we're going to discuss a little bit more later, understand this, that as this labor and pain is about to give birth, something is waiting. Something is waiting for you to make your declaration. Something is waiting for you to declare who you believe in. And verse 3 is it. Another sign, making sure that you understand, appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. Give me attention, please. This is the picture of, the symbol of, none other than the devil himself. This is not the beast who is the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. This is the devil himself. And he is depicted as a dragon. Now, as science continues to catch up to the Bible and they find out more and more that it was not billions and billions of years ago and millions of years before man walked the earth, the dinosaurs roamed the earth, but yet there were dinosaurs living in the time of men. Science will catch that up and give you another tale on why that can't be true, of course, even though it's proofed. It's proven out in their own scientific way. They deny their own science. This fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now later, toward chapter 17, 18, we're going to see that those 10 horns, the 10 powers, they represent the kingdoms of earth. Some would say it's the European Union. Some would say it's NATO. Irrelevant to our place and time now, especially since for us saints, we ain't going to be here. Please understand this. As I go through these things in great detail, I'm starting to see the different looks on your face. Some of them are like, oh, buddy, it's going to be one of those studies, isn't it? It is. But please understand, You could find out the hard way or find out the easy way. The things that I'm talking about now, they're going to happen. They're going to. You could be hip to it. You can be wise to it and stand there, pen in hand, ready to write down, ready to receive, ready to listen. Or you could poo-poo it. Yeah, go ahead. Come on. Get something. Entertain me, Ryan. Entertain me. Would you please play a song that I could dance to, please? Because obviously some folks need entertainment while I'm reading this. Of course not. Please, guys, focus in on this stuff. It might not be the most exciting parts of Scripture, but stay with me. These things are going to take place. Meta tauta, as we've learned throughout this. Meta tauta. These things are going to take place. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Please, again, I know there's so much symbolism, guys, and I keep saying stop, listen, read, listen. His tail drew a third of the stars and threw them to the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I saw Satan falling like lightning from the sky. The story from the book of Ezekiel and from the book of Isaiah speaks of this anointed cherub, this precious, precious angel created by God who is so special and so sweet that one day he looked out and he said, wait a second. Why are they worshiping him? They should worship me. I truly am the special one. And this devil, this demon, this Satan, this serpent of old, this red dragon who came before the very presence of God every day to accuse your adversary, the one who is the key center of all the earth's ill. This ain't no joke. He took one third of the stars. That same word for stars is in other places used angelic beings. He, with his tail, took one third of the angelic with him. Boom. And this is the war that is going on now. However, it's also the war that's going on in the future. For the word described in the Bible is an atmospheric place that these beings actually have existence. For so saying, when we are caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, that snatched away, that caught up, that harpizio, that rapture will take the very place that the devil and his troops occupy. But God has saw fit in this time, halfway through the Great Tribulation, to throw them out of heaven. You'll see what it means. Continuing. Verse 4, again, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. What does that mean, to devour the child? That's disgusting. I don't even like that picture. What are you, a dragon sitting there waiting for a woman to give birth? Listen to me. There it is. The devil gets cast out for his pride. And the first thing he does when his feet touch the earth is he deceives Adam and Eve. And he says to Eve, did God really tell you? Did God really tell you not to bite that fruit? Come on. You know why God told you that. He told you that so that you wouldn't be like him, knowing good and evil. Well, Eve takes the fruit, bites it, gives some to her man. He, foolishly following his woman instead of leading her, takes two. The curse comes down, and God proclaims the curse, and the curse is this, that the seed of that woman will crush your head, even though you will bruise his heel. So then Satan understands that God's word will come to pass. And how does his word come to pass? This is incredible, guys. And it's scary because you wonder why God would let something like this happen, and you only got to rest in the sovereignty of God here. Listen to me. Do you know why Cain killed Abel? Because the seed might have come from him. Do you know why Haman tried to destroy the Jews? Because the seed might have come from him. Do you know why Herod tried to destroy the child? Because the seed might have come from him. Do you know why Hitler tried to kill the Jews? Can I ask you a question? Are Jews just the most wicked, evil, foul people that ever walked the face of the earth? Or is there something super special about them that the devil knew? Because never has a people been as persecuted, as prosecuted, as hated as them. So there's something about the Jews. That when the Christ came and it was declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the devil said, "I didn't get him." For all through history, scripturally speaking, if you look one person after another person after another person who is to lead, beginning with Nimrod, the story of Nimrod who built the Tower of Babel, who was a mighty hunter against the Lord, the first Antichrist, leading all the way to the Antichrist that we will be studying over the next few chapters here. He's tried one thing and one thing only, to destroy the Jews. And yet for 2,000 years, the Jews had no place to dwell, no homeland. And yet, 1948, proclaimed, "Israel is born again." Wow. Incredible. No people have kept their identity for that long. Met a Moabite lately? So that's how the dragon stood waiting to devour the son, just so you know, the child, before it was born. She bore a male child who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Who are we speaking of? According to Psalm chapter 2, the Lord Jesus. And her child was caught up to God and his throne, speaking of the ascension, but also insinuating the rapture. Because that word for caught up there, the only other place it occurs, caught up together with the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord in the air. Therefore, comfort each other with these words, the Bible says. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This is 3.5 years. We understand this is halfway through. And quite uncoincidentally, again, verse 6 happens to be the complete dead center of the entire book of Revelation. There it is, also happens to be the complete dead center of the Great Tribulation, which begins Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble when the Jews are, the Israelites are persecuted beyond anything. Verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called Satan, and called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. There it is, one third of the angels and Satan, finally, they are cast out. Michael is now unleashed by God. It's time. I can imagine Michael having to wait with all this power, the wonderful archangel who stood before God waiting. God, you give me the word and I will fix it. God said, wait, I'm doing something here. I'm sick and tired of him. Because according to the book of Job, you guys know that very famous in the second and first chapter of the book of Job, that the devil actually has access to the throne of God. And you know what his job is? The very names, the devil and Satan, the accuser, the adversary. He comes before God and says, you see what Steve did? I saw what he thought. I even saw what he thought. You saw nothing of the sort. You saw Julia. That's what he does. He comes before and God just, have you considered my servant Job? A wonderful man. Listen, I love God and I trust God more than anything else. But listen, if the devil comes around, just forget for me for a minute, please. Don't bring my name up, okay? Let it be an after the fact. When I get to heaven, then bring my name up. After I get my wings. Ah, goodness, no. Michael and his angels, finally, halfway through the tribulation, Is it time now, God? It's time. It's halfway through, the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, remember, please, you've been with us. If you've not been with us, pick up the tape, see where we are, because chronologically speaking, it's super important to know that there's probably less than a billion people left on the earth now. More than one-third of the population has died from another part of the population. There's maybe 1 or 2 billion people left on the earth now. And what's left here at the point of now, halfway through the Great Tribulation, now not only has to contend with the kings of the earth, where lawlessness, according to our Lord and Savior in the book of Matthew, lawlessness will abound, which I find absolutely fascinating because of this. Go back a second. It says here that the devil had 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. These crowns, word for diadem means crown. These crowns mean he is the ruler of the earth. Letting you know that there are 7 nations who have made him king. The nations, the Bible says that the government will be upon God's shoulders, upon Christ's shoulders. However, right now, there are 7 nations at this place and time who said, Satan, the devil, is in complete control. And you can't figure out what's going on in this world when you see the stuff that the UN is doing, when you see the craziness going on in Iran, Saudi Arabia, that whole Middle East. You think to yourself, what are these people thinking? And our Lord Jesus said, lawlessness will abound. And now, a few years ago, listen, you might have a first world mentality, especially if you're born in America, if you've never seen a third world, if you've never gone on a trip, but you have this thing, they got the thing right now called white privilege. Forget about white privilege. This is American privilege. American privilege is this. You don't realize what's going on around you. You're like a frog in a bowl of cold water that the enemy's turned the heat up. And you're just going to wait till you're completely boiling and dead. Is that disgusting? Oh. Our Lord Jesus said lawlessness will abound. Does anybody see what is going on in the news right now? Baltimore, Maryland. Ferguson, Missouri. Let me get this straight. Guy is arrested 30 times for selling heroin. He dies getting arrested again for selling drugs. And rather than let the investigation play out to see if there was any wrongdoing by these police officers, a whole nation is going to back up this heroin dealer. To the point now where there are people in our government, and if you've not been watching, I suggest you watch some Fox News. They say that dealing drugs is not a violent crime, and they should decriminalize drug use. As a matter of fact, Reverend Al Sharpton has declared on CNBC that this is the perfect example of why we need to nationalize crime enforcement. Let's get rid of all the state agencies now and let's federalize the police departments. And he's not a laughing stock, guys. We laugh and shake our heads. Oh, come on. They're never going to decriminalize drugs. Come on. Anybody want to go to Washington or Colorado? Legalize herb there. Society's falling apart too. My friends in Boulder can't get any employees. You know why? Because they're paid $15 an hour to pick the buds off of dope. And they'd rather do that. They can smoke all the pot they want. Says, Ryan, I can't pay a guy. The kids are moving here in droves. The town is a pot cloud. Lawlessness shall abound. And yet, we're not even there yet, guys. I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It's going to get worse than this. Oh, like I said, following the chronological age of the things that are going on, where we're at this place in time, then the woman fled, verse 6, into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Apparently, when the enemy, when the devil and 1/3 angel is cast on the earth, he declares war, and those that are tribulation saints, those that have been prepared before the foundation, those who have the seal of the Spirit, now are fleeing. What did our Lord Jesus say? Those in Judea, don't go back in your house. Flee. Don't wait for your plane ride, and woe to them that are nursing in those days. Oh my God, this is what the Lord Jesus was talking about, guys. Midway through the great tribulation, the great trouble of Jacob, the Bible calls it. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his archangels fought, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Please, before we read 11. Remember, I told you that they've been dwelling in this atmospheric place. When we are caught up, when we are raptured, that very same place that we are going to be raptured to is where the devil, where Michael just cast them out of. And when we get there, this is our song. Wow, there's a lot of cleanup. These stinking devils made a big old mess here. We got to clean up. Praise God, no longer will the enemy have a presence amongst our God. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. You know, we really don't need to go any further, although we're going to finish the chapter. Both my men's group and your ladies' group, we've been going through the same thing. And again, I don't find it coincidental, and we didn't plan it ahead of time. We've heard testimonies on our when our men have been getting together, and the ladies have been doing testimony nights as well, of the story of God's redemption, the story of God who looked down somewhere into eternity and for some strange reason chose us. Makes no sense. It has no rhyme or reason. For some reason, God looked down at my miserable existence and said, I'm going to rescue you from that. And you want to know when he asked me? Guys, focus in here. Do you know when he asked to rescue me? When I didn't ask him. When my life was at its fullest. When I was fine. I was doing great. Pocket full of money, black book full of numbers, nice new car. Back in the day, we had these things called Lincoln Continentals. Let me tell you what. It was like riding a boat, baby. Better than a caddy. The brothers drove the caddies, the white guys drove the Lincolns. That's the way it worked. And God said, I'm going to rescue you. And I'm like, I don't need no rescuing. Look at me. He goes, you will. I got me bank, clock, and grip. And it wasn't a few years. And I crawled back and said, I need you, God. And he said, I know. How did you know? Because I made you. And I didn't make you to do the things that you were doing. I made you to worship me. And now all I want to do is worship him. And I hate the distractions that I placed in my life. I hate what I've done to my own life, the things that I have to deal with. When I'm worshiping God, the visions and the pictures that come into my head, and when I'm about my day and when something rattles me, you're a distraction. I'm mad now at the distraction. I sin against the sin, against the distraction, because what I really want to do is only worship God. And I got to do this thing called work. I just want to sit around and worship God all day. That's not your calling, Ryan. What's my calling? Testimony. Testimony. You got to live this life. You got to walk it out. You're not called to work at a church, send your kids to a Christian school, go to a church, have all your friends in church. Go out there and get dirty by the word of God and the power of the testimony that God has done. Ugh, look, we can stay here forever. We got to continue though. Look at this scary part. And they did not love their lives to the death. They did not love their lives. Speaking of, by the way, I'm looking around real quick. If you work at a church or send your kids to a Christian school, it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing we all can't do that. You know what I mean? Because somebody's got to go out there and get the world in. I didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings there. It's a good thing. Speaking of the saints that are in those days, the tribulation, just like in Christ's time, proclaiming Christianity could cost you your life. And as the beast comes with the seven diadems, not the beast, I'm sorry, the dragon comes with the seven diadems who runs the earth, it's going to become that time where you will have to draw the line. Please, guys, understand this. It's not my intention to be overtly political today. However, I want you to know that you are forever the minority. Dream no other dreams, for it's never going to happen again. You will never have a born-again Christian in the office of the United States presidency ever again. And if he is, we will have the same one we have now who is a liar. You cannot be born again and believe in abortion. You cannot be born again and vote that you are pro-gay marriage. You cannot be born. It's an impossibility to bear the spirit of the living God inside you and to proclaim sin as okay with you. Sinners, yes. To love the sinner and to hate the sin is our calling. But politically speaking, you will watch as one Republican after another proclaims that he is either a fiscal conservative, meaning he's a Republican in only the fact that he is conservative in his financial viewpoints. Because what this president has done is turn our country from right of center to left of center. The majority of American people now, especially the way the government is now set up with the college, college? Electoral college. The power is now on the coasts and will ever be. We're never going to have the majority again. Forget it. It ain't happening. Do you understand that? You have to be pro-gay marriage. You have to be pro-abortion. You cannot get elected. Why do you think Hillary's going all the way to the left of Barack Obama? Why do you think she's proclaiming? That's where the power is now. And that's where it's going to stay. It's over. Our dream is over. Have you seen the American society anywhere in the pages that we've read up to the first 12 chapters of the book of Revelation? There's a reason why, guys. We are inconsequential to the end times. We mean nothing. The city on the hill, the light of the world, the nation raised on the principles and foundations of biblical promises is gone. Sorry. Continuing. Because that's what happens. Woe to them that have they didn't love their lives to death. Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Again, not for us. This is for that time and place. When the devil hits the ground, believe me, he hits the ground running. And those that are now been raptured, the what's called The pre-tribulation saints are looking down at the earth with tears. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down and he is, you know what. He's just been cast out of his place. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. You know what that means, guys? I have no idea. Some supernatural crazy occurrence is going to happen to the remnant that is left on the earth. The tribulation saints, somehow, some way, something God's going to do in the miraculous. Now, for the nation of Israel at the exact same time, this is the battle of Gog and Magog. This is when Russia and China come. They invade from the north. They invade Israel, and the victory is given to Israel by God. Miraculously. Same situation is going to happen. When the devil hits the ground, he's going to start persecuting because he's got the kingdoms all around. It's the Christians! It's the Christians! Let's get them! And it's a repeat of history as the Romans, as what was the saying where, what was the emperor who fiddled while Rome burned? Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Same situation. The earth is going to look at this time and place the same way, and they're going to blame the Christians for the burning of the earth, and great persecution as well as prosecution will be upon them. But some miraculous thing, God's going to give them the wings of an eagle. Crazy story. And we rise up with wings as eagles. Listen, again, you can go through one of these really cool teachers who correlate. If you think I'm taking a long time getting through this chapter, you got to see some of the stuff that I read, because just looking at the correlation of all these verses and going, oh my goodness, this is so insane. And the wings of eagles and the eagles here, it means this is just, I wish I was smart like that. Where she is nourished for time and times and half time from the presence of the serpent. Listen, verse 14 is so sick. It calls back to the book of Daniel. In Daniel, he says, predicting these very same time, that a time, times, and half a time, which prophetically speaking, a time is a year. So a time, times, and half a time is the same 3.5 year span as 1200 and 1260 days, so forth and so on. He says, I want you to look back the book of Daniel. You will see in the book of Daniel, as also as our Lord and Savior said, what happens halfway through the tribulation? The treaty that was placed with Israel is now broken. Right, guys? You remember? You biblical geeks are with me, right? And now the Antichrist, which is the beast, not the devil, the Antichrist enters the temple, which they allowed the Jews to rebuild. They allowed the Jews to rebuild the temple. This abomination to God, not receiving his son, but the remaining Jews rebuilt the temple, which, by the way, they've already have most of the temple plans already made. And he goes into the temple. He says, you remember how I made you? I let you guys rebuild the temple? You know why I rebuilt the temple? Because it's my temple. Now you will worship me or you will die. That is what happens. Time, times, and half a time, the same thing predicted by Daniel, the same thing said by our Lord and Savior. Those who are smart, listen to Daniel. The abomination of desolations. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys right now that are reading the Bible, you're like, man, I can't believe this whole thing comes together here. It does, and it's so crazy cool. Verse 15. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood and the dragon that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Again, same situation. No clue what this actually turns out to be. If it's an actual water, it doesn't seem logical because, again, it's symbolism. But all through Scripture, a great flood came, like a flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you guys know that song that's from the Psalm. If the Lord had not been on our side, all of enemies would have swallowed us alive. When the great waters rose, the enemy comes in like a flood. So something that this devil does to kill the rest of the Christians that are on the earth, out of the billion people, who knows how many. Some say more people get saved after the rapture than before the rapture. I don't know. Because I know one thing, and we talked about this last week. The more blessed the church was, the worse shape it gets in. The insanity to think that you can read this Bible and you could think that you can tell God you deserve to be rich. The insanity of some churches that you walk in and they could proclaim to God what they want and God has to give it to them. That's only opulence right there. That's got to make the heart of God sick. For the true ground of Christ's blood is where the real seeds are germinated. The true ground. I don't know how many of you guys hit the lottery and sat there and went, hallelujah, I wasn't a Christian, but now that I hit the lottery, I believe. I don't know, maybe you got some situation that happened like that, you got some job and realized, man, this is the Lord. But for me, it was great tribulation. It was prison. It was loss of freedom. It was loss of family. It was great pain that caused me to turn to God. And every time I found myself getting high and mighty, God just had to just knock me down just another step. We won't forget where you come from, boy. I brought you into this life, and I could take you out of it at any time I want. Does that sound familiar, guys? So, you know, I don't know what the earth did to open its mouth, but there's a really cool story in I think the book of Exodus, where Moses is on one side and Korah is on the other side. You guys remember that story? Korah's rebellion. This is a great story, guys. Look it up for homework. Where Korah goes to Moses and he says, you know, Moses, you think you're a big shot. You take too much on yourself. We could hear from God. We don't need you to tell us what God says. And Moses gets to praying and he goes, God, what do I do? And he gets up and he says, you know what, Korah? You come here with your people tomorrow and I'll come here with my people tomorrow. We'll let God decide. And the next day, Moses and his people on one side, the man of prayer, the most humble man that ever lived, the Bible says, and Korah and his rebellion are on the other side. And he gets to pray and he says, God, you decide. And the ground just goes, cracks open. Korah and his whole rebellion fall inside and the ground closes back up over him. And Moses, you'd think he'd be like satisfied. And he's like, you know what? He looks back and he goes, guys, kill the rest of them. The humblest man that ever lived. Get your swords, kill the rest of them. We were kidding, I swear. But again, the earth opens its mouth and takes the flood that the enemy spewed and rescues the people of God again. Verse 17, and here's where we finish, finally. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Close your Bible, please. Leah, did you have a song for us? Is that what I'm understanding? It did. Hey, guys, let's not stir too much because here's the thing. Although we're almost finished, this last part is like super, super important because the things that we saw and the things that we heard and the things that we just read, they're not for us, but there will be people on the earth who will be suffering these things. And we have to know these things, and they have to encourage us. They have to strengthen us in our spirit to go out and let people know as they mock you, as they make fun of you. Yeah, it ain't going to be easy, especially as the days come, because the next thing that's going to happen in our country is they're going to outlaw this thing. It's a hate book, just so you know. It's next. And we better enjoy this building because they're going to tax the church any day now. It's coming. And that chapter we just read marks the halfway point. And how scary is that? Guys, listen to the last verse again. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. Now, the dragon is the devil. The woman is those that are left on the earth. The woman is the bride of Christ. Because he wasn't mad before. He wasn't upset just trying to kill. whoever's left, now he's enraged. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. He now goes to the rest of the earth. The 144,000 Jews that accepted Christ have now gone to the rest of the earth to share the love of Christ. And the beast is enraged. Now, if we want to enrage him now, and I wouldn't mind enraging him now, because I'm not afraid, because the Bible says, for he who is in me is greater than he who is in this world.
Amen.
The Bible says, if we are good, if we are wise concerning what is good and simple concerning what is evil, then the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet shortly. I like that. Be stupid when it comes to the things of, or should I say simple when it comes to the things of evil. I don't want to know about every principality, power, and demon. I don't want to blame devil for everything that I've done, every dumb thing. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be simple with it. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to worship God because I know that enrages the beast. The song we're going to sing.
He has it pulled up for the.
Oh, you got it above? What is it?
Yeah. Overcome.
Good one. It's a good one. Bring it. Come on, stand up, stand up.
of a testimony. Everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome.
Thank you.